What I want to say is Geraldine asked me to give a presentation about the threats for a fair agriculture trade, and this is what I want to do. The background is this three-year project you have already heard about. And what we have done is we have done some fact-finding mission to Uganda, Ghana, and Zambia, and the outcome of this fact-finding mission and also of our conferences coming into this thesis I would like to present you. I work for German Watch, and German Watch is watching the German policy, and the objective is to change the structure in the north to improve the condition of the people in the south. So we are not a development aid organization which is building something in third world countries. We do policy work in Germany, but also on the level of the EU. And our focal points are climate, world trade, and food, and also development policy. Yeah, it's nice that you are so well informed about the situation of hunger, so I'm able to be really brief. More than 1 billion of people are hungry. 2 billion people are poor. That means they have less than $2 per day for the consumption. And 3 billion people suffer of chronic hidden hunger. And 1 billion children, they are dying every year because of hunger. But there is a right to food. This is a human right. And maybe in the afternoon we will have the opportunity to talk also with Fian about this issue on right to food. Yeah, there was a question, what is justice? For me, justice is when no one starves. And I would say that smallholders are the most important group to solve the hunger and nutrition problem. As you know already, 70% of the poor people live in rural areas. 50% are smallholder farmers, 20% are landless, and 10% are fisher folks. And we would say this is really the important group. And not only we are saying this, but also the World Development Report from 2008. They are saying that the agriculture sector is really the most important sector. And on the other side, smallholder farmers are neglected in the international trade policy and even also in the country policy, in the national policy on agriculture. And there's one interesting figure I've learned last week, that the labor productivity of LDCs and the agricultural sector was in 2006 only 1% of the productivity in the industrialized country in the agricultural sector. And you really can imagine if you see the machines we have in the sector here, in the agricultural sector in industrialized countries. I think you also went around Great Britain to see the farms. You can really imagine that if you're working with a hoe, it's really different. So what we are saying is that it's really important that that the smallholder farmers get a voice in the agricultural trade policy. Okay, now it's one of my theses. I would say that our consumer habits destroy the African markets. There are many examples. One example is that we like to eat chicken meat, and from this chicken meat mostly we eat the chicken breast. 60% in industrialized country of the consumed chicken meat is breast meat, but the chicken of course has only 20% breast meat. So what is happening with the rest? One part is exported to Russia with export subsidies, and the rest is landing on the markets in Africa. You have heard about this, and the local breeders, they cannot compete against this. Just to give you a short impression, in Ghana 1 kilo of imported chicken meat cost €1.50, and the local produced chicken €2.60 per kilo. So you can imagine if you are a consumer and you have to decide what you would like to buy, and even if you are thinking about what it's easier to cook, it's easier to cook the chicken part and not to think about how can I cook this whole chicken. It's really a problem also of consumption habits and also of the way to cook. Yeah, number two, the eating habits in the industrialized world is consuming too much land and resources. You know this, and maybe you have an idea of how much meat you are eating during a year. Is here anybody like to eat meat? What do you think? What are you consuming? I just give you a figure. Is it 10 kilograms per year? Is it 50 kilograms per year or 90 kilograms per year? Is anybody who can, who like to raise?
90.
Right, it's 90, and it's 10 times more than the people are consuming in sub-Saharan Africa. So it's really not necessary. And it's even if you compare our diet with the Italian diet, even in Italy, it's only half of the consumption of the meat consumption in Germany and also in Great Britain. So what does it mean? It means that we are importing to feed our animals 70% of the feed from other countries. This is the Cerrado in Brazil, and now this is the Cerrado today. So the Cerrado in 1900 was really a big area, and now most of the Cerrado is destroyed. Just to give you a figure, on the whole world we have 90 million hectares for soy worldwide. And to compare this with Great Britain is 24.3 million hectares big. So it's more than three times more than Great Britain what is planted with soy worldwide, just to. And from this 70% is only to feed the animals, and it's not for the consumption for the people. Okay, a rapid market liberalization is threatening the smallholder farmers. You know about that, and you also can look into all our research papers we have done. Just to say this very briefly, that the most developing countries have to open the agriculture markets, not only because of the economic partnership agreements, but before also on the, because of the policy of the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund. And you have also heard about the structural adjustment policy during the 80s. This all leads to marketing opening. And this now means that the countries are also importing much food because they're not able to produce their own food. For them it's cheaper to, or they have to import. It's not only cheaper, it's also a threat. Because of the time, I just can show to the pictures and also to the publications. Only to give you one figure for the tomato farmers in Ghana. Nowadays you can buy tomato paste also in Ghana, and in Ghana nearly every meal is cooked with tomato, and also there it's easier to cook with tomato paste, and it's much cheaper because the EU is giving subsidies also to make this tomato paste. And so the local produced tomato decreased on the local market from 92% to 57%. You really can see, and the tomato farmers and on the tomato market you can see here there are some tomatoes, but now there are all this tomato pest. It's really a problem for the farmers. Okay, speculation. I can just say that the trade volume for contract and options on agricultural products increased 2006 already on 30%, and we will have later also presentation on speculation, so I can leave this. And the next is the market concentration. Just to give you an idea what does it mean? We have all these big companies like Cargill, Bunge, Archer, Daniel Midland, and also seed companies and on pesticide and food processing companies. And for the smallholder farmers, it's difficult to get access to this, and the market concentration penalizes smallholders concerning the access to inputs, but also partaking in wealth. And just to give you one figure, Cargill, which is the biggest trader of grain, increased in the first 3 months 2008 really the profit on 86%. Just to have an idea, it was during the crisis, the food crisis. And also ADM, it was increased on 67%. So there are companies who are making profit on the same time people are hungry. Maybe Armin knows this. This is a demonstration in Berlin. Our partner from Zambia has the opportunity to speak in front of 10,000 milk farmers who were demonstrating against the falling milk prices and the increase of the milk quota. My thesis is that the EU agriculture policy is a threatening for the right to food of smallholders. This is in Zambia. Yes, just to give you very brief an idea, 80% of the subsidies in Europe, they belong to the so-called WTO green box, and so it said they are not trade distorting. So it's okay to put them into this green box and all is fine. But it's not true because in this green box there are also subsidies for investment, and this investment helps to increase the competition from the European, okay, I hear you. And even the World Bank said that this kind of subsidies is trade distortion. But this subsidies, these subsidies are not a topic in the WTO round and also not within this IPA negotiation. So this is really a problem. Nobody is talking about this subsidies which are belonging to the green box. Yeah, thesis 7, the safeguard mechanisms are not good enough to protect the smallholders. I think you all have heard about this WTO meeting last year in Geneva. It collapsed because there was a conflict between over 100 developing countries under the lead of India and mainly the US because of the special safeguard to save the agricultural markets with tariffs against increasing cheap imports from the industrialized countries. And what we say is that the safeguards now are not good enough really to protect the smallholder farmers. And my last point is, this is a demonstration in Berlin, that the economic partnership agreements between unequal partners are threatened, and they are limiting the possible needed trade policy. Okay, now I would like to overhand to Helen, and she is explaining the EPA. Thank you very much.